Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
Voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine abyss, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
One snowflake, two snowflakes, three snowflakes, look at all them snowflakes falling from the sky, falling from the sky, covering everything, who's gonna die, who's gonna die? I think that it's a little bit snowy outside, and there's a lot of people who really need to know how to join Winter Club. Winter Club says, be careful, take your time, check both ways before crossing the street, and never, never be a dum-dum on the road with your vehicle, because you could hurt somebody, even including yourself.
Hi, EW, how's it going?
What is this stuff that you're talking about?
Yeah, I know. You in like that Texas place where it's like warm and they don't get snow.
I don't even know what it is. I love my temperature. We're wearing shorts and short sleeves.
I wear short sleeves and shorts in this weather. It's not that bad.
Yeah, oh, well, see, there we go. I don't know what people are complaining about then.
Well, we got a foot of snow today, just today.
Wow.
That's actually not even the worst snowfall I've ever seen. This is like, okay, it's like, yeah, it's a busy winter. It's like, yeah, whatever, no bomb.
Well, okay, I'll be nice. They are saying that we might, and this is a thin line of might, we might have an ice event again.
Ooh, Texas is going to get some ice. No.
Somebody's going to get a Route 44 drink and just dump it on the road and say, oh my God, we had an ice event. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I saw that meme too. I still laughed it. My preference, though, is the one meme that goes around. It's like, hey, you had a little bit of snow. Hey, this country had a little bit of snow. And in Canada, it's 4 feet of snow and it's covered every Cuddy's car.
Oh, man, I saw a picture of, I forgot where in Canada it was, but you could just barely make out the top of the stop sign.
There's places like, the Maritimes usually gets hit with a lot of snow. I think there was one snowstorm where they got like 3 feet of snow 1 year.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, that's a lot of snow. It was so bad that they kept trying to push the snow back. Maritimes is right on the ocean, so it's like there's a whole lot of water over there. So they were just pushing it back into the ocean, and it's like it was just staying there. They clogged up the whole bay or whatever, the one place, and the snow wasn't going anywhere, so where else do you put it?
Yeah, if the ocean ain't taking it, who will?
Yeah. Well, I like what we have in Toronto. We actually have, well, because we're right on the lake, there is some degree of doing that as well, but we have these snow melter things. They set them up near the lake. They just dump the snow in, and it just melts the snow and pours it back into the ocean, into the lake.
Wow.
Yeah.
War Dog's sitting there talking about temperatures. He's really going to hate me to know that it was just 70 degrees.
Yeah, well, poop on you. We're supposed to be getting minus 14 Celsius weather tonight and tomorrow, which is fairly cold, but not the coldest it's ever been.
See, I don't know if I could live in a place that does negative degrees for their temperatures.
Okay, you remember Joan? You know little Joan?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't go and live in the city she lives in.
Yeah, I know.
It regularly gets to minus 40.
Yeah, what was it? They were having a picture going around about how it was colder in over there than it is on Mercury.
Yes, well, that was that meme has been blowing around for a little bit, too. We had one for Toronto there, did the same thing. It's colder in Toronto than it was on Mars. Well, actually, no, it wouldn't be Mercury, because Mercury's very warm. On Mars.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Zombies eat anything, right?
No. We are very discriminating consumers of meat.
I think it's time that you guys go eat a particular rodent.
I'm not eating skunk.
No, that's not a rodent.
Actually, it is.
No, it's part of the cat family.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a feline. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm talking about a particular rodent that gets pulled out every once a year.
Oh, you mean groundhogs?
Yes.
You know what's really funny? I got a groundhog lives outside my doorway. A real one.
Did he see his shadow?
He ain't coming out of his freaking hole in the ground until there's no snow on the ground.
Right?
That sucker is smart. He stays buried. Buried until at least, what, probably April.
You know, but this trips me out. It's a sunny day. And they break the thing out and say, oh my God, he saw his shadow. Well, duh.
Well, who's going to believe that a rodent is going to actually know how to tell when summer's going to come or when winter's going to end? Sure, as a mammal that hibernates, great. It's like, I'm getting ready to wake up soon. Wait, these doorknobs just opened my door. Why? Ah, let me get away. Let me get away.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I'll tell you one thing, though. Here in Texas, now I'm sure it's different for different areas, but like in Texas, and a lot of the farmers look for a particular bird. It's called a scissortail bird.
Eat it.
Well, no, but this particular
bird. Eat it anyways.
Okay. When you see this bird, there is no more freeze or frost that will come. That's when this bird comes out. So there's different.
Does it have a word?
I don't know.
Is it a bird? Does it have a word?
Bird's the word.
Does it know the word?
It's the word.
It's the bird?
It is.
It knows the word.
Definitely.
Bow, wow, wow. Bow, wow, wow, wow.
Anyway, but I mean, I'm sure it's the same thing for farmers in different areas. They know a particular sign that says, okay, that's the end of that.
Well, yes. I mean, most animals are closer to the whole biochemical clock that's going on. It's like tick, 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 tick. Oh, yes, summer's over. Tick, 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 tick. Oh, yes, winter's over. And yeah. But realistically speaking, who cares? Well, it's not really going to tell you that, yeah, winter's coming, or spring is coming soon.
Well, I did laugh at one thing, because they said that, they pulled the groundhog out. If you go by the calendar, spring actually begins in 6 weeks, in six more weeks.
Mm-hmm. March 20th.
Like, so really, are they going by what... what they figure the rodent's little shadow thing is, or are they going by the calendar?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Squirrels!
Where?
Actually, I always go by the fact, there's no snow on the ground and I can drive into work without the heater being turned on. Okay, that's spring.
Yeah, that works.
It works for me. So, we are going to talk about a couple of things, and then we're going to continue on with last week's discussion, because it was unfinished business yet.
Say it ain't so.
Say it isn't so. So, did you watch any movies this week?
I did not. Yes and no. I rewatched one. I actually got to spend time with family. My father came in the town, and we watched the Super Bowl together, but we also watched Skyfall.
That's the Bond one?
That's the Bond one.
Okay, because there's another movie called Skyfall as well, and it's terrible.
Yeah. No. We're talking about the Bond one. And
okay, the Bond one I liked. That was the first of the new Bond with what's-his-name in it that I actually liked.
Yeah. Well, I
didn't like the other two.
I was talking to my dad, who's a big Bond fan, and I loved the fact that he mentioned something I didn't pay attention to.
The car?
No. Well, that too. That was apparently the original car.
Yeah.
Sadly, it's no longer.
I read about that, and it's like, I recognized the car right off the bat. It's like, oh, look at that little MG. That's a beautiful little car.
Right? But the other ones that had Daniel Craig in it were not written by Ian Fleming.
Correct.
And that's why they sucked.
It's not that they sucked. It was they were trying to go for a more American style of secret agent thing. And it's like, okay, great. You're trying to do it. Wait a sec. We have 30 other different licenses going on right now. Bourne trilogy. This, that, and the other thing. I'm sure there's a Jack Reacher right now is another one. It's like, it's done to death. Move on. If we're going to do a Bond movie, do a Bond movie. Bond is about this.
Yeah, see, that's my thing. I loved Bond the way it was before. And then you take away Ian Fleming's touch, and it ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of like America saying, we're going to take over Doctor Who. Oh, please, God, don't do that.
Okay, but You do realize that the current edition rendition of Doctor Who is American styled.
Yes, I know. It's got American hands in it.
It's got more than just American hands. It's aimed for American audiences because British audiences are gravitating more to that style because they're inundated with it. So they've become used to it, and now they like it, and they want it. So now their programming is becoming American style as well. And that pisses me off a lot. But I'm not going there.
Well, if they keep, I will say, if they keep some of their programming at the same, like, okay, Mrs. Brown's Boys, that's got to stay that way. The other one, the Sherlock Holmes with Mr. Cumberbatch. Thank you. They keep that one that way too. I mean, yeah, I'm right on it.
Yes. And we need more Fawlty Towers, and we need more Blackadder, and Monty Python.
Yeah, and I want to answer Keenan's thing there.
About Octopussy.
That really wasn't Ian Fleming's last book. In fact, they haven't even begun to scratch the surface of all the books that he did.
I actually have an original... No, wait a sec. I have Octopus with the original printing.
Do you really?
Yeah. I found it in a dime store once. Yeah, I have a copy. That's the only one that I actually... No, I have another 007 book as well, but it was a much later reprint. Yeah, I have an original copy of that from the 60s or whatever.
Yeah, I wish I could get my hands on it. My dad, I believe, had quite a few of the original books. I would love to get my hands on some of the books.
Yeah, but they're like tiny, thin books. It's like, wow, this is like half of my normal books.
Oh yeah, that's why a lot of people don't understand when they think when you say Ian Fleming had a lot of books out. excuse me.
Hey, you've got the cough this time. Ha ha.
No, it was the coffee. It went down the wrong pipe.
See, you still have the cough because you had the coffee. Bad coffee. Coffee bad.
But they don't understand that they were kind of like dime store novels at the time.
Well, they were penny, whatever they used to call them. There was a name for it besides dime store novels.
Yeah, it was. I know which one you're talking about.
Something like penny paperbacks or something like that. It's like, da, 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 okay, whatever. But yes, that's right. They were.
Yeah. And they were able to make a good... I mean, the series has gone pretty good. Of all the Bonds, which one do you think's the best?
What, the Bond movies?
Yeah.
The Bond actors or the Bond movies?
Bond actors.
I don't do that. I don't go for best. I go for usually that I liked him doing that style. I liked him doing that style. I liked Connery. I liked Roger Moore. I even liked, what's his nut? The one who drove the tank through Russia. Which one was it? Pierce Brosnan. I was not a big fan of Daniel Craig, except for the last one. And that one, I thought he really delivered on it. Who was the one before Craig? Was that Brosnan?
Yeah.
There was another guy before Brosnan as well.
Well...
after the Moore and Connery.
There's Roger Moore, Pierce Brosnan,
you're
Sean...
You're forgetting the first guy.
Barry Nelson, Daniel Craig, George Lazenby.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of, the first one.
Okay, Timothy Dalton.
That's the one. I didn't really like him too much.
And as Keenan mentioned earlier, the original Royale was David Niven.
No. Yes. Wait a sec. No, Lazenby was...
Actually, there was two versions of the Casino Royale. Three. Because there is the newer one with Daniel Craig.
Yeah, didn't like that one.
There was Barry Nelson in one, and then David Niven in another.
Yeah, David Niven was in the comedy one.
Yeah. So there's actually been a total of three versions of that film. I did not know that until just this moment. I gotta say, I have liked a lot of them. I'm like you. Roger Moore was great.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service. That's the one he was in.
The one.
Lazenby.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes. And the only one Timothy Dalton was in was The Living Daylights.
Which was okay.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, Dalton does a better job in other films. but definitely was not a Bond, I don't think.
Yeah, but in the... Yes, correct. But now we're moving on, past Bond.
Okay.
Because I watched no movies this week.
No movies this week,
really? Nor the last week.
Did you watch any Super Bowl this week?
What is Super Bowl?
It's really...
I don't watch Super Bowl.
It's really a word we're not allowed to say on the air because of
good,
all...
because it's not on this show. The only thing I watched from that horrible experience was some of the commercials. And only online. Not live, not on TV. Forget all that crap.
And the problem with the commercials this year is they blew.
No, the Doritos commercial was funny.
Which one?
And even better, well, they were both kind of funny. Three, whatever ones they were.
You liked the Time Machine one better, though.
Time Machine. Yeah, that one was good. But the good. Favorite commercial I liked was the Oreo cookie commercial.
You have to remind me which one.
It's in the library. You didn't see it.
I might have missed that one.
Ooh. Okay, so they're in a library. They're talking about, oh, I like to eat my cookie. I like to eat the stuffing first. And the other guy says, no, it's the cookie. The cookie is the best. It's the flavor. And they're whispering the whole time. And everybody's arguing about what's better part of the Oreo cookie, the middle stuff or the cookie sides. And they're all arguing about it. Then the librarian keeps saying, you must be quiet in the whisper. And then the cops show up. And then the fire department shows up. And then everything shows up. And they're making all those kinds of noise. And they're all fighting each other, banging at each other. And it's like, but they're all talking in a whisper. And it's funny as hell.
I didn't see that one. I'll have to go back and watch that one.
Yes. So
I saw... You started on that, and I remembered the one, and now I can't remember.
Ooh, and the Budweiser, was it Bud Light?
Oh,
where,
the guy
plays ping pong with Arnold Schwarzenegger in a bad wig?
Yeah, ooh. I saw that one. That one was...
But did you watch any more of it? Because they actually had a whole bunch of other stuff about it as the side pieces of, hey, and how did we figure out this? And it's like, come on, dude. There's no way that was a random guy just out. And they actually had a pool of people that they were working with that they selected the one most likely to be favorable to what they wanted.
Well, let me ask you. If a woman walked up to you and says, I'm going to give you a Bud Light, but are you willing to go through with whatever happens next? What's the first thought that runs through your mind?
I'm out of here.
That or what the hell did she just put in my drink?
That's why I'm out of here. Do you know, have any idea how many instances I've heard of the whole, oh, and I woke up in the tub with my liver cut open and in a bag of ice with a note saying, here's 911, call now.
That's an urban legend.
It is an urban legend, but... there are variations on the same sort of theme where you wake up, you've been clonked over the head, they've stolen all your money, they've ripped your clothes off, and you're stuck buck naked in the middle of an alley. It's like, okay, what do I do now?
Well, the only one that
does happen.
The only one that I have heard that's really hilarious and has been proven to be true is where they get handcuffed and left inside of a hotel room.
Oh, no, I actually have a friend who fell for one of these things and then realized at the very last minute that it was a setup for this, and he just booked the hell out of there.
Oh, I don't blame him. I would, too.
It's like, dude, yeah, she asked you to meet you at a hotel in the middle of a skeezy part of town, and on top of that there was a black van sitting over there? Yeah, that's a U-turn, man. Get the hell out of there.
Yeah. I do got to say, I did like, and I'm not really one for emotional commercials, but I did like the way that one Bud Light or Budweiser commercial was with the Clydesdale and the puppy.
Didn't it? Had too much mushy gushy, so I said, nope, not gonna.
Well, I mean, this kind of shows
too much mushy gushy. I said,
will you stop? This
dude, shows... this is a show about zombies and comic books. No mushy gushy.
But this shows the unity of animals.
Animals don't get unitied.
They took over humans.
Okay, animals only do
that part.
Occurrences of opportunity that says, hey, we're in trouble, you're in trouble, let's get the same place and get out of trouble. Oh, we're out of trouble, let's fight. That's what animals do. That's that whole thing about the the snake. No, what was it? Oh man, there's a fairy tale thing
You didn't watch the yogurt commercial, did you?
You just said the one word that would make me not watch that commercial.
Yeah, I need to tell you this one because you're gonna love this one. The it's the one. What's that guy from Full House? All the women like that played Jesse.
I don't know. I didn't like that show.
Anyway, he does that yogurt commercial all the time, and he got some on his lip, and she all sexually kind of rubs her finger on it and licks it, you know, away, and he's like, okay, and drops some in his, you know, down in his lap, and she starts licking her lips, and it looks like she's about to go for it, and the two guys from Full House actually come in, and, you know, it was kind of good for that part, but Stamos, thank you, War Dog. He even liked that one.
Uh-huh.
I think that one actually might get voted the best up for the whole night.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not a fan of Stamos. And the only reason I'm not a fan of Stamos is because who is he married to?
Is he married?
Was married to?
You'll have to remind me, because I thought he was single now.
Yeah, he is single now. I can't remember what her name was.
She was a model, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. I can't remember her name, but...
Man.
Speaking of models, did you see the pictures that just recently came out of Baldwin's and... God, I forgot the girl, the lady he was married to.
Rebecca Romaine Stamos. That's why I can't remember her name. Mystique from the first X-Men movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, did you see the daughter of Kim Basinger and... Baldwin?
No.
Oh, dude, they had pictures of her out just recently because she got a new tattoo and they were bragging about it.
Eh.
She's a hottie.
Okay, so I didn't watch movies, but I did watch stuff.
Okay, what did you watch?
I watched Grimm.
Don't tell me.
So now I've watched two discs of Grimm.
Oh, wait, you're not on the current...
Season one. I'm only on season one still.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. You can keep going.
Yeah. So I watched seven episodes now of Grimm, and I'm liking it. It's a little on the corny, and...
Season got a little more, way more improved.
Okay, but it's a little corny. It's very Monster of the Week kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not bad. It's much better than I thought it was, and I should have probably started watching it a long time ago. But whatever. So, we're moving on. Actually, now might probably be a good time to do Intermezzo-age. Yeah, let's do that.
We can do that.
I pushed a button and elected him to office, and he pushed a button and dropped a bomb. You pushed a button and can watch it on the television. Those motherfuckers didn't last too long. I'm sick of hearing about the haves and the have-nots. Have some personal accountability. The biggest problem with the way that we've been doing things is the more we let you have, the less that I'll be keeping for me. Well, I used to stand for something. Now I'm on my hands and knees, training my gun for this one. Who sends his name with a capital G? Don't give a shit about the temperature in Guatemala. Don't really see what all the fuss is about. Generations, and I'm sure somebody gonna figure it out. Don't try to tell me how some power can corrupt a person. You haven't had enough to know what it's like. You're only angry 'cause you wish you were in my position. Now nod your head because you know that I'm right. Yeah.
how, hey, hi, hi, ho, howdy, howdy, hoo.
Get a stick.
With a stick, yes. And I don't know what the hell Pikachu little creature thing that made a noise you let go on in there, but if I hear it again, I will kill it with spectacularly splashy, splattery, goody, goofy bits and knives. And Dabney Coleman.
Okay.
I don't know what it was. But I can tell you it won't be in the recording.
And Dabney Coleman.
And Dabney Coleman. Who I'm trying to remember what he was in. I used a word yesterday.
I was teased to push the red button.
Okay, fine. Was that the red button?
That was the red button.
I'm going to give that noise again. I just like to watch the byplay of things that happen in the chat room when I use words like that. But I have to throw this out because I was actually rather amused by it today when I said this. I used the word writing something yesterday. As I didn't even know what the hell the word was at the moment that I wrote it, but I knew it was the right word. It's like, what the hell does that word mean? I got to look it up now. Tout le monde!
Did you even know how to spell it?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Oh, dude, I know every word in the English language, whether or not I remember what it means. Usually, I normally do, but when it gets into certain things, it's like, forget for a second. It's like, oh, yeah, that's what that means. That's why it is. Okay, good.
So that word was actually in the English language.
Well, it's a French word, but it's been adopted into the regular English language. It means the whole world. Everything. It's kind of like one of those all-inclusive statement type thing concepts.
And what exactly does it mean?
All of the world. That's what it means.
Just the word. What's the word?
All of the world.
I don't want to know what the world thinks about it. I want to know what the word means.
That's what the word means.
What's the word mean?
Tout le monde. All of the world.
Right.
Who's it's a literal translation. I will get my stick out for you. Smack! So, we are now going to continue on with where we left off last week in our exciting exchange of information and stuff and data and statistical extrapolations and stuff. And really confused the crap out of Jack because he missed last week. Jack, there's a test.
Pop quiz.
Pop quiz. Not to be confused with pop-up video. So.
Ooh, I want my MTV.
I would expect and hope that you already had your MTV.
No, but I have my TMV.
Well, okay, cool. I still think you should get a TMV mug like the one that, and you should sell it in the cafe thing.
Like the one I posted?
Yes.
Yeah, we could work on that.
Yeah, it's there's a couple of places you can do that. But did you know, fun fact, trivia, DC Comics.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what the DC means?
You know what? You told me last week, and I totally forgot.
No, I didn't. I said something else last week. That was because it also means something else in another vein as well. But DC for DC Comics means, very specifically, very cleanly, Detective Comics.
Which
was one of their mainline series, which was Batman, which has run for
Which is what we were talking about pre-show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, we're going to continue on with parts of where we left off last week and parts of new extrapolations of information exchange. So, the big concept thing throwing out here. Oh, a Pop-Tart quiz. I never really liked Pop-Tarts. Was Marvel versus DC.
Yes.
So, with a little bit of preamble again, I'm going to say I have liked things in both comic book companies. And I've disliked things in both comic book companies. I have tended to always read Marvel comics.
If you didn't feel that way about both, then you really didn't know comics, because not all of them are always the way you wanted them to be.
Exactly. I mean, if you're expecting a character like Ghost Rider to be, oh, ooh, look, and then he's like, wait a sec, what?
Mm-hmm.
So then you would be that.
Did I get you? Oh, yeah, we did discuss that. Yeah, you were the big Marvel fan.
I am. No.
I got stuck with DC.
Well, fine. You got stuck with DC because you liked Green Lantern.
I did not say
that. You said you liked the Green Lantern movie, and it's like, dude, really? No.
I haven't even seen the movie, Seriously, I haven't seen it yet.
Do you like the Catwoman movie?
Okay, but there was a reason I liked the Catwoman movie, and it was not for the movie.
Well, that doesn't matter. You liked the Catwoman movie. I thought it stank.
Tell me what guy did not want to see her in... Yeah.
Okay, I can't watch that movie.
I didn't say I had to watch the movie for its...
I can't watch the movie. It doesn't matter. I can turn it on for about 5 minutes and say, okay, that's going to turn off.
Turn the volume off, play some...
Tried that the first time.
And watch her walk.
Tried that. It says Catwoman, and it's... She's not Catwoman.
All right.
What's her nut in the third Batman movie? She was a good Catwoman.
Oh, yeah, she was. So was... I can't think of her name.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
No.
Oh, yes.
No, the one that... God, she was in the original Batman series.
Eartha Kitt?
Eartha Kitt was awesome with her voice and everything. Yes. There was another lady that would just...
There was three of them.
Yeah.
Eartha Kitt's the only one I ever remember. Lee Merriweather? I think Lee Merriweather was one of them.
I think that's her. And just to answer their question, come on.
Who was the third one? The third one was the singer.
Halle Berry in leather.
Yeah, that's fine. Halle Berry in leather is fine. Halle Berry naked and topless in Swordfish. Great, awesome. Love that stuff. Tight spandex. Huh?
Monster's Ball.
Never saw it. Spandex in X-Men. Great, awesome. Love it.
Bond movie.
She's not Catwoman!
I didn't say she had...
Julie Newmar, that was the one.
That's the one I'm thinking of, yes.
Yep. She was awesome. I missed an opportunity to meet her, though.
Really?
Yeah. It was at a local convention, big one. And I was on my way to go meet some people and do some stuff, and we were just... It's towards the end of the show. And then I'm looking at the autograph area. There's a bunch of people there, a bunch of Star Trek people, a bunch of other people and whatever. And she's sitting over there on hers, getting angrier and angrier by the second as I walked by. It's like, well, this was several hundred feet away. I could still tell that she was getting angry because nobody was in her line waiting to talk to her.
Oh, dude, really?
Yeah, so I was going to be like, that's absolutely the best reason for me to go over there and talk to her, because A, that would make her feel better, and B, it's Julie Newmar. She's hot.
Yeah, exactly. Die another day. Thank you, Jack.
Whatever.
You didn't know? Barry. You don't remember Halle Berry in that one?
Yes, I do remember her. But do you remember her in Swordfish?
Yeah, I do.
Do you even remember the movie Swordfish?
I do. That was the one with...
Do you even remember the controversy around that movie about Swordfish and her in it?
Well, I don't remember the controversy with her.
$250,000 for her to show her boobs on the movie.
Really?
Yes.
No, I did not know that part. I just knew that the Project Swordfish was a real project, and there was a lot of controversy about it because of the fact they were going to reveal stuff they weren't supposed to reveal.
The movie had a great opening scene with the whole ball bearing explosion thing with the truck. That was awesome because it had a whole 3D visual effect. Mm-hmm. But that was also Hugh Jackman's first breakout movie. The guy who played the Wolverine.
That's right. I forgot about that.
That was his first real movie.
Yeah.
So, I liked Swordfish. I thought it was a fun movie, but not just because I could see Halle Berry's boobs.
Yeah. Well, that was the one with Travolta, so...
Yes. And I didn't mind him as a bad guy. I thought he was okay in that. But back to...
Say what again?
DC versus comic Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, here's some similarities. Jack Kirby has worked for both of those companies.
Yes, okay? Yes.
And Jack Kirby is my favorite, all time, always will be favorite comic book artist in comic book land. Then there's a whole bunch of other ones that fall into different types of styles of artwork and everything else. Jack was poorly used by Marvel. He got the short end of the stick. Stan was the Mr. Ego. He was the marketing guy, so that was his job to be the ego. But he did take way more out of Jack than I thought he felt was right. So then Jack tried to be with DC for a while. And DC did pretty much the exact same damn thing. So then Jack went back to Marvel because I think he was more comfortable with that. But whatever. DC Comics, like the one I posted on Facebook today, was awesome in the early 60s and whatever with the Strange stuff. So Weird War, Strange Adventures, all that stuff that EC Comics got booted because of the House on Congressional Affairs and the whole comics book code. DC was able to just come real close to those things and still be able to publish. Marvel, on the other hand, was great at the supernatural and the space science-y stuff.
They still are.
They still are. And DC still is with the cutting-edge stuff in their Vertigo series. But their mainline comic books are lame now. Like, they really are so tame. Superman, oh, now he's just an alien who is teaming up with some chick from Wonder Island or whatever and doing whatever. And it's like, really? These are boring.
Don't get me started on the alien thing. I still haven't seen the new Turtles movie.
Yeah, we're not going there, because it's not even out yet.
They're showing pictures of the first Turtles.
I've seen the pictures. I'm not going to care about it. I ain't seeing it at the theater. I'll see it some other time later, whatever.
I'm kind of protesting because my boy's not Michelangelo again.
I know. You've mentioned that before.
It's not fair.
Okay. Why but not? It's got nothing to do with Marvel or DC.
I know, but why not take your originals and put them back?
Because they want to do something different and make more money with that crap. Okay, yeah. But back to DC and Marvel. That's just me being silly.
Wait, I don't make me hunt the dogs.
I don't need dogs.
You're yeah.
Don't make me bring the monkey out.
Oh no, not the monkey.
Exactly.
Not that monkey.
That's right.
Oh, you leave that monkey alone.
Don't worry, I ain't touching that monkey with a 10-foot pole. And we're going to go with that and go move on. Now, when people think of comic books, what is the first thing that they think of? They think of Superman, they think of Batman, they think of Wonder Woman. And in the Marvel world, they think of Fantastic Four, they think the X-Men, they think Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, Captain America, Spider-Man. They usually, I would say, that Marvel is more popular. They're more in the face. They're more well-known. But the thing is, DC is the sounder company between the two. DC has never had real... Sure, they've had some issues and problems like any other company does going through a... How old are they? 1930s? Yeah, they're almost... Whoa. They're almost 100 years old.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, DC started in 1935 as National Allied Publications. And Marvel started in 1939, I think it was, as Timely. Where is it? Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Yeah, 1939 is Timely. So we're talking almost 100 years. It's like 80 years. Whoa. 80 plus years now, both of them. That's a long time to be around. But DC has never been on the brink of bankruptcy. Marvel has several times been on the brink of bankruptcy and has gone so far as to sell out to Disney. Which is funny. Because DC is owned by Time Warner. And DC and Disney and Time Warner are two main competitors against each other.
So we go back to the competitors against Marvel.
Exactly.
DC again.
So this is the thing. Between DC and Marvel, they own 80%, according to a statistic I just read here somewhere about 2008, 80% of all of the comic books in the North American marketplace.
Wow.
Okay? That's a lot of comic books. Because when I get the catalog every month, this thing is like 300 and some odd pages of just comic book titles from all over the place in different... publishers. And that's a lot of comics. I mean, DC has this thing going on right now that they started recently called the New 52, which is, you'd mentioned last week something about, well, yeah, DC's trying to reinvent itself. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, too little too late. DC has really screwed the pooch on it. Marvel has too, but for different reasons. Same idea, though. The New 52 is trying to reintroduce the comic book greater universe story and bring it out to a new generation by allowing them an opportunity to catch on to the wave of the stories from the beginning. Yes, mm-hmm. House of Mystery and House of Secrets are awesome, Jack. You would have heard all that last week if you'd been here. But personally, and I was collecting some of the issues of the New 52, and I still have them. They're in my collection, but I stopped at issue 13 on most of them, because it's a magic number for me. I was collecting Swamp Thing. I was collecting their new House of Mystery, Demon Knights, Justice League, Dark, Constantine, and a couple of others. And they were okay at the beginning, because it was like, okay, you're trying a new storyline, new direction, new interpretation on it. It's like, da-da-da-da-da-da, okay, this is good. And then they just did this whole thing that DC always does, and they tanked their stories. They just went downhill. OMAC was another one. And then they killed that. Really pissed me off. And I agree with DC. The EC reprints from DC were good. I have some of those. But this is what DC does. They get a story running for a long time, and then it kills itself because it just seems to implode because its own weight just won't carry it anymore.
Isn't it you that said, though, after a comic book gets so far that they're no longer any good?
Yeah, 100 issues.
I mean, why even considering going that far?
Well, okay. I have to grain a little salt on that. Not every series that gets that far up tanks or becomes crappy. But usually, most comic books, what they've been following for a long trend for a long period of time is you have one writer and one colorist, artist, whatever, is doing a very long stretch of storyline.
Right.
They get tired. How many more stories? How many more... For 80 years, what else can you do with Superman? Superman has been in the comic book world for DC for probably not as long, because I don't think that was their first thing. Let's call it around 1938, Action Comics number one is the premiere of Superman. Even still, that's a long time. That's a good 70-plus years of Superman. What else can you introduce on him? How can you keep that story running fresh and interesting and different? You can't. It gets tired after a while, which is why in the 90s they did the whole thing, the death of Superman. It was a way to rejuvenate the series. It got some major sales. It got some major marketing pizzazz and everything else like that. But ultimately speaking, they're still doing the same dang stories again. Oh, Superman fights a bigger monster. Oh, what did it? It's like, okay. Now it's just boring again.
Yeah, see, that's why moving it back to the Justice League like they did would have been a better way to keep going.
Well, one of the things that I really like that DC likes to do, and they do this way better than Marvel, is what's called their Elseworlds series. So they take the character, or they take a scenario, or they take a situation, and they reinvent it and reimagine it for a very short miniseries slash trade or graphic novel or whatever. One of my favorites is a Superman one called Red Sun.
Right.
So we all know the story about how Superman's alien spaceship crash lands in Kansas, USA. And he's raised by an American and given all American values and all that stuff that goes along with that, right?
Right.
What happened if he crash-landed in the USSR? What happens if Superman was Russian?
Then the Russians would be...
Exactly. And what happens if they trained him to be a weapon of mass destruction to prevent the rest of the world from invading or taking over any of their stuff?
Yeah, that would be pretty nasty.
It's a great story. This is what I'm saying is DC does really, really, really good at, is that whole Elseworlds series of stuff. There's a Pirate Batman, as Jack just mentioned. I was going to mention Gotham by Gaslight, which is a Victorian age, very steampunkish, very goth type view of Batman in a very medieval type world. But they did that to a lot of things. There's a Green Lantern one that I remember from a series called Tangent Comics, which is the whole reinventing it. And that's what DC is good at doing with some of their stuff. But they don't seem to bring enough of that energy into any series to last very long. And this is where I think that when you talk about a series that goes up past 100, it loses steam, it loses the energy, it doesn't have the same drive and desire to continue building a story. Now, something that runs counter to that is The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead, issue number 100, oh my god, did they ever deliver a blow to the psychologic mind pant. Wowzers, that was a hell of a thing. I don't want to say any of it because some people may not have read it yet. So it was a good, nasty one. But The Walking Dead, what they've done is it's like, okay, you have small story. It's a small world, small view, small story. Next area, smaller world, getting bigger, more stuff, more people, more things, growing up, expanding world. And even now, at that issue 118, I think is most recent, that world in their universe is expanding even more. So they've still got room to grow in their world universe, so they're still doing it right.
Right.
Okay. But speaking of going to other alternatives, because one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight was you've got your big two comics, DC and Marvel. But there's hundreds of other publishers out there making much better comic books, in my book. A couple of people have been mentioning EC Comics and Harris Comics in the chat room. Awesome books. It's sad what happened to both of those companies and how they've completely... Well, EC was kind of killed because of the House on Congressional Theories, whatever the hell that was called, and the whole, put in the comic books code, killed that EC Comics, essentially. They still tried, they were around for a while longer after that, but they just couldn't make any money anymore on that. EC made all those great horror suspense stories, weird fantasy, weird science fiction, Tales from the Crypt, all those cool comics back in the 50s. And it was very sad that some people thought that that stuff was just too much for young minds to be able to read and still grow up right. But they produced some of the best horror comics back in that time. And Harris did Vampirella. Awesome series. The artwork on those covers was beautiful. And then we got creepy and eerie comics out there as well at that time. And it's like, this is all great, cool stuff. But what works now is that the independents and the smaller companies, what they do is they'll put out small run series. So instead of having we're going to keep this as a monthly series going on for like ever and ever until we can milk the crap out of it. It's a 6-issue story. Bam. Mm-hmm. Okay, that one's done. Okay, next story. Yeah, let's have her meet, let's have Hack/ meet Army of Darkness guy. Yeah, let's do a crossover thing. 6 issues. Bam, done. Next story. Oh, yeah, let's have Hack/ go to hell. Ooh, okay. 7-issue story. Bam. And that works much better nowadays with the modern society's very short, what? Attention span.
Squirrel.
And you can focus real good quality writing, artwork, marketing efforts, because ultimately speaking, all of these products require the marketing machine behind it, because otherwise nobody even hears about it. One of my favorite comic books is called Chew. I've mentioned it before. It's up to issue 35 now, I think. It's about 2-3 years out. 3 years. 3 years out now. It's a very low-key comic book, but it's done by Image. It doesn't get much in the way of press or marketing material, but it is very well known by all the subculture people because it's cool. We need to get rich soon. Yeah, I need to get rich soon. I guess I should tell Keenan that I have about 200 or 300 copies of Creepy and Eerie and Vampirella, like 3 boxes full, that I sell at my shop. But I'm not going to mention more than that. I had issue number 1 of Creepy. Ha ha! Sold it a couple weeks ago. Oh well. Oh well. Still have issues 2, 3, and 4. Yeah. But yeah, and this is where I think that both DC and Marvel have become essentially the dinosaurs in the comic book industry. There is still a lot of good available in both of them. Like I said, DC's Vertical line has a great series of comics that just push the edge of, common sense, common decency, art, story. They are willing to experiment with ideas and take the boundary and just say, no, we're not going to pay attention to that. We're going to go past that. And Marvel is really good for trying to build in huge scope stories across all sorts of characters and just bring texture that's just inconceivable when you have... they have like 5,000 characters that they can draw in and have so much rich history on it. Whereas DC seems to have a few characters and some rich history on those, but like there's nothing there for... Like, does anybody really know what Mr. Cold's home life is like? No. But they know what Deadpool's like. You don't even know who I'm talking about, either of those characters.
I'm trying to remember.
There's That's so okay.
Many. There's so many, and I think I've slept somewhere in between there.
Okay, fine. But here, this the thing. I think what's happening with DC and Marvel is that they've gotten to the point where the industry as a whole, comic books, much like the book industry, is shifting to electronic formats. And I don't think DC and Marvel are ready to make that big shift. It's like what's happening with the big five publishers. Amazon came along and kicked their asses in the electronic book industry with the Kindle and everything else that followed through after that. And the big publishing companies are still racing to try and capture that market back. And they'll never get it. They lost that war. But that's what's happening to DC and Marvel, too. They just don't know how to deal with it.
Well, most people won't. I mean, they might realize they've lost the war, but they're not going to try to give it up. Because, I mean, if there's any kind of shred of decency or light at the end of the tunnel...
In business? Ha ha!
Yeah, well, actually...
Actually, I shouldn't say that about in business, because my business doesn't work with the dishonor thing. It's all about honor. But yes, I hear you.
But, I mean, in most businesses, if they still are seeing a chance at a profit, they're going to keep going. And no matter what, so...
Well, and yes and no. And I've also been hearing the argument nowadays where it's like, cut your losses. Why? You can keep spending $1 million at doing this, and you can maybe very well succeed and do real well. But if all you make is $1 million plus 10, is it worth it?
No.
Right. So you cut your losses and move on to something else. And that's what DC is doing with the New 52. Out of the original New 52 that was introduced a year and a half or so ago, I think only 25 of those titles are still running. All the rest of them were canceled, and they relaunched new series. So, and by the way, Keenan mentioned in the chat room, Ben Affleck as Batman, go! My only answer to that was, and it's going to remain that way, because, well, on one hand, yeah, I don't like him as Batman. I don't think he's the right choice. I think he's going to suck. However... Open mind, willing to let it happen until I see what happens, and maybe he'll do great. Well, I don't know. I think it will.
Something there,
huh?
You're missing something there.
Missing a lot of things.
Well, people aren't going to realize how much he sucks because they're going to look at the girl playing Wonder Woman, thinking, "What the hell?"
And who's playing Lex Luthor? Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
You know the skinny dude in Zombieland? Philadelphia, the young kid who was picked up by Woody Harrelson.
Uh-huh.
The guy, scrawny little guy.
Yeah.
He's Lex Luthor. Yeah, exactly.
Well, what was that sound you made earlier? There you go. I think that's the entire movie right there.
Exactly. And the new guy playing Superman, I'm not really a big fan of him. He's okay. He's not terrible, but he's like, it's just okay. There's nothing going to be exceptional about that movie. It's going to be, oh, well, that wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be. Or, that movie really blew chunks. Let's go watch it again and make more fun of it. It's like, it's going to make money regardless of what they do. But it's not good craft. And that's the part that's going to really bug the crap out of me. It's like, it feels like everything that they're slapping together on this movie is about how can we create controversy? How can we create marketing buzz on this movie? I know, let's make Wonder Girl sidekick of Batgirl and give her squirrel ears.
Well, I think that they're going to be able to, if they keep the same guy as Superman, you know, because they're trying to make that reboot, cool, I can understand that portion, because obviously there's no way in the world you're going to get Christopher Reeves back. But the others, these other people, really? I mean, I think this is the point where, and I said the same thing about the Turtle movie. They're not listening.
Turtles!
They're not listening to the fans.
And I will answer to that both two sides. One, yeah, so what? And two, yeah, I agree. On the yeah, so what? If they'd listened to the fans, you wouldn't have had Heath Ledger as the Joker.
What? Well, that's true.
The fans hated Heath Ledger cast in that role. And when that was originally announced, it's like, I don't really know him so well, so I don't really know if he's good or bad. I mean, I don't know. So I was like, I don't know. I'll wait until I see it. But if the fans had that control, he would not have been. And he nailed that role.
Yes, he did.
Okay? I don't know where he pulled that from. I don't know what magical source of mystical, hey, acty magic, that he got that from. But he nailed that role. So this is what I'm saying. It's like, until I see the movie, I can't really judge as to how well it's going to be. I think it's going to suck. I really do. But I'm willing to give it a shot. And it's going to really depend on how they play the promos and stuff on that. Because it's like, oh, wait, did you just give me the whole movie in the commercial? It's like, then I don't care. It's going to be a crappy movie and I don't want to watch it.
Right. Yeah, but, I mean, it is going to be that. But, I mean, I think there's still going to be a lot of people with their reserve, as we said earlier.
Yeah, but there's going to be a whole crap ton of people go and watch the movie for all the wrong reasons. Oh, I want to see how bad it is. Or it's like, oh, I'm a big Ben Affleck fan. I'm going to watch this movie because Ben Affleck's in it. It's like, well, that's not what I expected in the movie, but okay, I guess I kind of like it. It's Ben Affleck. It's like, okay, come on. I agree. The fans don't run the movie because it is ultimately a business being created by people who are creative and putting together a product. And what's killing me is that the product is being tarnished by just the making of, I want to make money. And that's not really any soul to the project, which is why I'm trying to think of the last superhero movie that I watched. Captain America is coming across to me. The new Captain America, Winter Soldier, is coming across to me as a movie with soul behind it, because it just feels like it's got a story and characters that really integrate and work well. Thor was great too. The Avengers, beautiful movie, awesome, well done. Batman the Dark Knight, great movies. Why? Because the way they were done was exceptionally well. It was a whole thing that was created and done in such a way that made sense, worked, and whether or not they cared about what anybody else said about it, they still put together a product that was cohesive. And yeah. I think that's what's going to suck about Superman, because it just feels like it's like slap this in, slap that in, slap this in, slap that in. It's like, okay, it looks good. And that's a piece of crap.
Well, that's what it's coming out to, but on that note.
Yeah, on that note, thanks everybody for coming out and playing with us. I appreciate it tremendously, y'all, coming to play with us. And come back again next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Thanks, EW, for joining me.
Not a problem.
Bingo, bungo, bango.
A big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.